getting rid of that.
I think we're pretty much ready.
Awesome.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Tilt that microphone towards your face.
Right, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. It's a little quieter. Jennifer lights up a cigarette.
All right. Indeed.
Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's time to go, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it.
Hey everybody, we have a guest today. I have Ian here.
Hello.
We're going to talk about some pretty big topics. I'm told we may talk about world-class soccer.
I think that would be a good topic, yes.
We've got some anal talk. Always. In addition to some butt talk. These are different topics.
Do we have any colon talk? So we stay in alphabetical order, the ABCs.
No colon, but much more. Stay tuned. Welcome. Welcome back.
Hello.
It's been a while.
Good to be back. It's been a long time.
It's been a while. I think you said, and I was hearing this on the best ofs when I was looking for that. I don't know if it made it on to the best ofs, but that you actually once sang karaoke to Staines, "It's Been a While."
Yeah, that's. I don't think that made it onto the best ofs, but yes, that's true.
I need to pull that song up real quick. I'm sure most people probably remember. But I'm guessing most people probably don't remember, as you didn't, just how bad a job. What? Can you explain? I mean, I think you said before, but it's been so long. I would just like an explanation.
I try to figure out why I picked that song, but I picked something that I kind of knew.
Sure.
I was flipping through this book and I was like, I didn't know any of this stuff.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. Which most people would have just said, I know nothing, and then walked away.
Uh-huh.
But it was the first thing I recognized, and I thought, I'm going to go with this. And that was a bad, bad choice. It was because there was a bar thing where you did karaoke and you got a shot. And I've learned since then that you should just buy your own drinks.
Yeah.
That's usually the way to go.
Is your dignity worth $4?
Yeah, I feel like karaoke is something that you have to do when you're a very good singer already.
Yeah. This is still going. I wish this is what you'd sing. You're up on stage. I mean, if that had been you, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, let's just do karaoke from now on.
Right.
Oh. Kiss and Def Leppard are playing together. I just wanted everyone to know.
What's going on here?
I think, that's Def Leppard because they have that retarded drummer.
Is that currently happening or is that just currently happening on your ancient technology?
Yeah, is it just on my computer? I'm not entirely sure. I mean, we are watching a Stained video. So this is kicking up.
Right, right.
And you're just standing there going like, ah, Christ.
Yeah, I was in a bad place here. It's been a while. And see, this is where I think like it could go okay. Because I knew the words. My head up I knew what was going on.
I mean, it's not a super singy song.
No. Yeah.
So you could kind of like maybe just muddle your way through.
Yeah, like kind of muddle my way through. But I feel like this is a kind of thing where I made a terrible judgment call. But why you would make this a choice? Or maybe this is like the choice that every karaoke person has, that at the end of the night when someone picks the song, it's like, I gotta...
That's when you know it's over.
It's over.
You're
done.
Like, this bar is too drunk.
This is closed.
Yeah, that's probably wise.
Yeah, and they'll pick that.
I see what you're saying. I would probably do... Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, when you say, when they pick that, it's like, why would you even have this on your karaoke
right
list? When you're a karaoke man, a DJ, I guess?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like if you're... It's like, say you're doing a film festival for your job, right? Okay. And you're sort of curating through, you have a big list of DVDs, you come to the meeting and you say, these are some of the things that I was thinking about showing. And you put Triumph of the Will, the Nazi documentary, in there.
Sure.
And someone would have to say, well, why is this in there?
Yeah, why is this in here at all?
Right, and you would say, well, that's very interesting that you selected Triumph of the Will.
I see.
Yeah.
So you're saying, basically, it's this guy's fault for even having it in the book.
I think it's a strange choice to have in the book. But unless he's doing it for the deliberate purpose of trying to eliminate people from karaoke. But it does feel like if you pick that song, he should go... I don't know the ethics of being a karaoke DJ where you go, maybe you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't go
that way. If you can step in and tell someone, like, listen, this song's not really... for singing.
Right.
This is really not for good times.
Like, at what point as a karaoke DJ do you have to prevent the train wreck from occurring? You have to go, let's stop this. Let's save this person from the temporary humiliation.
You know, this would be a good song to, if you were just going to sort of play a joke.
Yeah.
And do karaoke and then just kind of have a breakdown on stage. I think that would make a pretty good joke, to be honest. If you had to do a joke karaoke.
If you had to go that far, yeah, you'd just do that sort of an Andy Kaufman bit. But I think in most places where someone's doing karaoke, there's not always a huge depth in the audience at that, you know, at those places. It's usually a loud, very drunken place.
Sure.
And the Andy Kaufman depressing, dark comedy bit is not going to fit in well when, like, right after that, there's someone who will come up and three girls will come up and sing Spice Girls together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to have your friends with you.
Right. And you know what always makes it having your friends with you an even better activity? Soccer. World Cup soccer.
Okay.
Because I think it's good to have a little bit of, you know, since it's been a while.
Since I've gone and played soccer. Just
that's
like
right.
I always did.
That's right. You know what I think it's time for?
Soccer?
Pete's Sports Time.
Pete's Sports Time.
Doesn't this have some theme music?
Hang on. It does, but it's not readily available.
Okay. You know, it's been a while since we've had Pete's Sports Time, so that's why we got to dust the cobs webs off, so we'll just kind of...
see if I can find this here.
Dust them off, just...
Is it this one?
Let's see.
This sounds like the right thing to do. There's going to be an advertisement.
There's always advertisements on your soundboard.
Some idiot looking in a refrigerator, and then Mexican guys playing guitars. I'm not even making that up.
Yep.
Here we go. Pete's Sports Time. Coming right at you with the sports report, the hottest report from this year's World Cup. We got soccer. We got teams from countries that you didn't even know which countries they were in. Ecuador? Is that in the Middle East or South America? Find out. Pete's Sports Report.
All right.
Pete's Sports Report today brought to you by Ian, because I don't even know what it's actually going to be.
All right. So basically, it's Sunday as we're recording this.
Uh-huh.
So... those of you who are getting the show a little bit later on that will probably know how various group standings have come out in the World Cup.
Right.
But I figure this would be a good way to explain why Peter hates soccer.
Okay.
Okay. Because we're going to go through the Group G, also known as the Group of Death, because it's a very hard group.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't even know what you're setting up. I don't know what a Group G is. I don't know if very hard means... they're good at soccer?
Yes,
I don't know.
Good
okay.
at soccer. Strong teams. And it was...
Pete's Sports Update. Death group means good at soccer. Okay.
And Group G is also significant because that's where the United States is.
Okay, so we're good at soccer.
We'll put up against two teams that are pretty good at soccer, and then that are very good at soccer going to the tournament, and then Ghana, who's beat us in the past, so also pretty good at soccer.
All right.
However, we've been doing pretty well. And as we're going into Sunday, we're in second place in our group.
Great.
Right? And so we're trying to figure out who's going to advance to the next round.
Okay.
And it could be Germany, the United States, Ghana, or Portugal. Now, two teams get to advance and two teams don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, currently in points...
Where is this going?
Yeah, I'm going to read to you... Like, we're trying to figure out who's going to advance. I'm going to read to you one paragraph about how the United States moves forward from the New York Times.
Okay.
To explain how... Now, in most sports, what do you think it takes to get ahead?
Not lose.
Okay, and that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so are you ready?
Sure.
The United States advances with a tie or win against Germany. If the United States loses, it will be rooting for anything but Ghana to win the Ghana-Portugal match because Ghana is in a better tiebreaker position than Portugal. The United States, regardless of what it does, advances with a tie between Ghana and Portugal. If Portugal wins, Portugal is likely to lose the tiebreaker to the United States, whereas Ghana has a decent chance to win the tiebreaker over the United States. The United States wins the group and wins over Germany. For even more details, see the upshot post by David Leinhart.
Okay. So, all of these things have to happen, or some of them, or maybe none of them, but just this one of them. And if those things happen, then perhaps the United States will advance to the next round?
Right. It's basically if we lose, then we're trying to hope that Ghana does not win the Ghana-Portugal match.
Okay.
Because then we'd have to go into a tie. In either case, we'd have to go into a tiebreaker game, and we'd be better against Portugal than Ghana.
Yeah.
But if we tie or win against Germany, we move on to the next round.
I don't understand. Have they not seen what I think my last sports report was probably in March Madness, where they have brackets.
Right.
Now, my understanding of brackets is like you have two teams,
mm-hmm.
one wins, and they move to the next thing.
Yes.
And they play whoever won from another set of two.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps going down like that until it's two teams.
It's single elimination.
Okay.
Yeah, in the March Madness bracket. But in the World Cup, it's not.
Right. Why?
Because you have...
How
is this better? Well, it's lasts for... You have fewer teams, so you can get more games with fewer teams.
Who is clamoring for that?
Iran.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who would have been
clamoring
for that?
Yeah, the countries that have nothing.
South Korea.
Oh, sure.
Algeria.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Who else might be clamoring for it? Ooh, Bosnia and Herzegovina.
What's the best thing about Algeria? What are they known for?
Well, they made a really good movie about when they fought a war against France.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you say really good movie, you mean a movie that you and like four guys saw.
That's on the Criterion Collection, so maybe like eight.
What's it called?
The Battle of Algiers.
It's not Citizen Kane.
No.
Then I don't know it. RoboCop is in the Criterion Collection, is it not?
Armageddon is also in the Criterion Collection.
So there you go.
Don't want to close my eyes.
Yeah, did the Battle of Algiers have a theme song?
Don't want to kill French kids.
Don't want to kill French kids.
But I'm going to blow them up anyway in an ice cream store.
Is that a thing that happened? They blew up an ice cream store?
Yep.
Probably, here's a tip if you're going to do a war.
Right.
Don't blow up an ice cream store. Blow up like a bank. That sounds more righteous.
Army barracks?
Ice cream store is pretty much the worst thing.
Maybe... Yeah, probably a puppy shelter.
Yeah, or like a...
Then again, if you blew up the puppy shelter, that would show the other side you mean business.
A single gumball machine you blew up.
Well, actually, that could make some pretty horrifying projectiles.
Mm-hmm. And the gumballs are like... those are, I mean, once they've been in there for God knows how long they're in there.
And you couldn't have any open casket funerals because no one would be able to go up and view the body with like a big... gumball in there.
Yeah.
You have a small child who like pulls a star gumball out of his grandfather's forehead.
Yeah.
And like tries to say like, can I get a free gumball?
They used to have, do you remember at our mall, they had this giant gumball machine?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was probably like 8 feet tall. And the little sphere at the top that held the gumballs was, I don't even know how big.
Yeah. It was huge.
Imagine the fattest man you've ever seen, his waistline, then more.
It was like a sumo wrestler.
Yeah. So, and I remember thinking like, and the gumballs were standard size gumballs.
Right.
It must take like 8 years to go through that stock of gum. Probably the man who put that there died before they went through all the gumballs. The keys were in a safety deposit box that no one knew existed. And then the other thing was, sometimes you'd see those ones that were medium size, but they had the little curly slide.
Yeah.
But they'd be so old that the curly slide was all gross, covered in goo or something, and you'd watch this gumball sliding down over the goo, just getting disgusting before it reached your
hand.
It's
sort of being slowly coated in dust all the way down.
Yeah. And then also,
little lint, spider webs going through it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, good, well, I get to pick this up 2 inches from the floor. I wish you could go on the other side. It's like, this one dispenses a gumball at human height.
Right. Or just like maybe you put in the quarter and the top opens up and you can select your gumball.
Yeah, and just pick it out of the top.
Just pick it out of the top. That seems to be fine. More sanitary.
It would be, they should make a machine now. I mean, it's, you know, whatever, the 21st century, mm-hmm. 21st.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's never going to end. It's the 21st century. It should be like a computer screen, an iPad. What color do you want? Then they can have all the colors. They don't even need to bother putting in any but grape and red.
Yeah.
And then you just pick them.
Well, you pick, like, you have yellow because then when your little brother wants one, you just pick yellow for him.
That's the revenge ball.
That's right.
I liked the orange ones. I liked orange candy.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. Orange Jolly Ranchers were a thing once upon a time, and they died. And no one believes me.
You know what?
This is true.
They were disappeared. They didn't die.
Yeah.
It was like,
they were murdered in a back alley in Dubai.
It was like the 1984. They were disappeared down the memory hole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. I did want to show, I'm glad you're here. I wanted to show you this picture. So this is a calendar. So I ran the Boulder.
Yep.
And as part of your entry, they give you a calendar.
Of you or just of people in the race?
Like previous years, I think.
Okay.
You know, people having fun or whatever. I kind of wanted you to look at this. It's kind of dark. Hang on.
All right. So my question is, how many pictures of the calendar? Can you get like pay an extra $2 and you get a calendar only of girls in jogging shorts?
Well, that's what this picture is. It's girls in jogging shorts all dressed like Where's Waldo.
Okay.
But I wanted to see if you noticed probably one of the first things I noticed. So go ahead and take a look there.
Well, there's one dude.
Notice. Yeah.
There's a guy carrying a guitar case.
No, it's not that. It's horrible thing. Just let yourself go and look at the butts. Don't try and deny your impulses.
There's a serious wedgie going on.
Yeah. Do you see the sweaty butt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of do.
There is a picture. So it's all these girls and they're dressed like Where's Waldo?
Oh, when I tilt shorts. The light, yeah, that then it
yeah,
comes
when you
right
see it
out.
In the light, it's yeah. very obvious. We're in the dim recesses of my depression right now.
Right.
But if you see it in the lamplight.
The miasma of his depression, it makes it hard to see this woman's sweaty ass. It
makes the world cloudy.
Right.
But yeah, when you see it in the light. So here's the thing. This is a calendar that's given out to tens of thousands of people. Everyone who signed up for this race gets this calendar. And in this picture, it's a bunch of people dressed like Waldo, and this girl's got a sweaty butt.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, her picture of her sweaty butt is now circulated around the world.
Yes.
Because she's wearing light blue shorts, and she's sweated through her shorts.
Right.
But it's butt sweat. It's
which
clearly
is totally
butt sweat.
Reasonable if you're running this race.
It's not unreasonable. What's unreasonable about right. it is that they put it on the fucking calendar.
Yes.
And then, I don't know, what am I supposed to do? Pretend like I don't notice?
And it's not like, when
it's
I look
the at, month of the sweaty butt.
When I look at this picture, too,
yeah,
it's almost in the center of the picture.
It's directly under the text that says Boulder.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost as if Boulder is being underlined by butt sweat.
And it's, yeah, it's like it's right there. it's exactly where your eyes are going to go if you're looking at this calendar, because it's not only is it a young woman with a tight bottom, a small bottom, we'll say, but it's just right there in the center of the frame, a young blonde
Boulder
woman.
Bottom jeans.
Yeah, and it's in a costume thing, so it's exactly where you're going to look.
I mean, it's dead center in this picture. It's a there's a, you know, motivational quote, trophies carry dust, memories last forever. Boulder, boulder, and then right under boulder, boulder is sweaty butt. Mm-hmm. It's not like she's off in the background, blurry, or something like that. And everyone else in the picture seems to be having it. And, you know, it's not like a spectacular picture that needs to be in here.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that poor girl. That poor girl with her sweaty butt.
There's another picture, like, I flipped through. There's, like, ones with Teletubbies and Batman and everything else that looks better.
Yeah.
Or, like, some that look, you know, the photo quality is not high, but it's clearly taken by, you know, it's taken by someone at the race.
Sure, and there's, like, an old man. There's, like, a wheelchair person, because you have to.
Right. But that seems like a picture, like, why include that? Maybe it's the people who were assembling this picture hated that young woman for some reason.
That's interesting you thought of that, because someone else floated that theory. They're like, what if the guy, like this girl's ex-boyfriend, was in charge of making this?
Yeah.
So what he did is he found a picture of her sweaty butt and was like, I'm putting this in the calendar.
Right.
Enjoy it, sweat butt. Mm-hmm. And her face isn't in there. So, you know, it's not like she could do much about it. But he knows. She knows. Everyone knows. Everyone in that group knows her sweat butt is immortalized in a thing.
So how many times have you rubbed one out to sweat butt?
8 or 9.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I haven't been, you know, I used to keep track and then I stopped.
Ran out of fingers and toes.
I have notebooks full of things where I put what I masturbated to, how it made me feel during and after.
Did you cry, not cry? You made like a checkbox.
I found all the synonyms for the word shameful that are available in the English language. Speaking of shameful.
Right.
So I've started keeping a notebook. Now, a lot of people will say, you know, when I'm a millionaire, this is what I'm going to do.
Uh-huh.
Or I want to start this business someday.
Right.
Or stuff like that. What this is my... eccentric millionaire ideas.
Okay.
These are various businesses and whatnot. Now, I think this has its origin also in the best of. If you recall, I had an idea to buy a Gravitron and allow school kids to tour and get in it. And then in the top, I drop cats.
Yes.
And I also have recently added to that that the cats would be dropped in from the top of the Gravitron as it's spinning. And they would drop through like a running waterfall of diarrhea. So basically, diarrhea-covered cats would go into a Gravitron with a bunch of grade schoolers and get sucked against the wall, and just everyone's horrified and ruined.
And as an eccentric millionaire, you could set this up.
Exactly.
Yeah, at least once.
Yeah. So I decided to start tracking these ideas.
Mm-hmm. Got to turn down the interrogation light.
Yeah, I thought maybe we should go through these and you could tell me what you thought of some of them.
Okay.
This one's not written in here. I have a separate notebook at work because I seem to come up with ideas there.
Right.
I had an idea for a book called Fatwa, much like Fatwa, but Fatwa, and it's a diet book. And it's Declare Holy War on Fat.
This is what you're going to do if you become a millionaire or to get $1 million?
It's a mixture of both.
Okay.
So what do you think of Fatwa?
So I'm trying to imagine the cover of Fatwa.
I'm thinking someone in like a burqa.
Okay.
And so that's the other beauty of it. You don't even have to get a fitness model because it's like, is she fit under there? Who knows? Who the hell knows?
It seems like the kind of thing. Maybe you should go with the...
Forward by Salman Rushdie.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe you could go with this sort of French protester thing and have like the head covering, like the hijab and the, you know, the naqab or whatever it's called.
Okay.
And then like bikini body underneath.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the head parts, the eye makeup covered. And all stuff. The head's covered, but yeah, then it's like a hot bod.
Right.
Good idea.
It's like a hot bod underneath.
So maybe what you should do is tell me how many $1 million you think each idea is worth.
I mean, I think that idea is worth probably... I have a hard time seeing it breaking the $1 million mark. Because there's so many diet books out there.
So let's just say 1 million?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 million. So far, I'm up to 1 million. Let me keep a tally. So I know how much I'm in for.
There's just so many diet books out there. It would be cutesy. You get on TV for a little while, but okay. I don't know that it would sell like gangbusters.
All right. Here's another idea. Panera Bread becomes Pantera Bread on Halloween every year. We've got cobwebs. We've got soup in cauldrons. We've got cowboys from hell blaring over the loudspeakers. We've got a mummy arm roasting on a spit in our little fireplace. We've got a pumpkin patch out back. It's going to be a hoot. Pantera Bread.
Pantera Bread. I think that...
One day a year. Here's another...
Okay.
I don't think Halloween's like a big holiday for Panera. You know what I mean?
No.
Some places get into it. Like Target, they have like a Halloween section.
Right.
It's not like Panera has like a Halloween menu.
I think that like Panera Bread strikes me as the place that is mostly attended by people who work in very corporate-y offices.
Sure.
And are kind of watching their weight.
Okay.
And then like sort of women in their late 30s, early 40s.
Okay.
And so like the exact, with no children.
Okay.
So the exact groups that do not get involved with Halloween at all.
Right.
So I like the idea of forcing Halloween upon people.
Okay.
And not just forcing Halloween upon people, but forcing Pantera on people.
Yes.
Because everyone who goes in...
The Dimebag Darrell Shrine. Yeah,
I would like to hear about the overlap of people who really love Panera Bread.
Yeah.
And the people who really love Pantera.
I mean, it's got to be almost none.
Right. I mean, it's nobody.
Just imagine, though, they put a T on the sign, you pull in,
yeah,
and then it's just all Halloween as shit. No one would expect it to be real Halloween.
And so in this, in Pantera Bread, this would be like sort of set up and torn down in a single day.
Yes.
So it has to be,
it overnight.
There's no build up to it. It's just,
no.
Bam, Pantera Bread.
It's Pantera Bread.
And then, like, the next day, it's totally gone. The employees... It'd be better if the employees like didn't act like they acted like nothing had happened.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just like
it's like a one day it blows in, it blows out. You know, it's like in the movies when they get the genie lamp and they're like, I got it from that stand right over there, and then it's gone.
There's just a swirl of dust where the stand
exactly.
was.
Exactly. Yes.
You almost have to get like a whole different set of employees. Like just
fire everybody.
Just like everyone gets the day off and just say like, hey, listen, don't come into work today.
I kinda thought the way this would work is probably once I was a millionaire, I could afford a Panera franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would probably just go rogue and do this without consulting corporate.
You could just do random Pantera Bread days. It doesn't always have to be Halloween.
I like Halloween.
Yeah. Well, you could do that once and then like throughout the year, you could just all of a sudden declare Pantera Bread Day or just even Pantera Bread Hour. Like all of a sudden it flips to Pantera Bread.
I gotcha.
Yeah. If you're going eccentric millionaire, you could have it sort of on a rotating thing, like a speakeasy, so the walls flip over, and then all of a sudden there's Pantera Bread decorations. And then it just flips back.
That'd be perfect.
And nobody, you know, and everyone's just like, be cool.
We do not speak of Pantera Bread. So how many million do you think that's worth?
Well, you got to find a place that has the speakeasy flip walls.
Just?
But I think that's probably worth a good solid... Two million. It's worth more than the diet book.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
All right. Now, here, this is kind of a whole series of businesses I would be opening.
All right.
The idea started with an idea I had for basically to open sort of a novelty-ish gas station in the middle of nowhere. Because I was thinking, like, are you familiar with Wall Drug? And it's like this huge wooden sort of drugstore thing in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, you've got your stores like your damn store.
Mm-hmm.
You drive up to Estes Park, there's a place called the Dam Store, and it's hilarious because everything's damn this, or butt drugs.
Right. Or I think the thing that we've had around here for a while was the Come and Go.
Yes.
Which I think when people...
K-U-M and go.
Right. Which when people encounter that for the first time, they go, what?
How can you get away with that?
Yeah, like, how is that a store?
So... My idea was to come up with a middle of the nowhere, you know, thinking like somewhere maybe between here and Illinois.
Okay.
Or here in Montana.
Right.
Or here in Utah.
Right.
And it's called Pete's Gas Hole.
Okay.
And basically we just sell merch. It's a gas station / truck stop with the best kitsch selection of all time.
So it's
so, you know, we've got gas hole shirts, and you know, I got gassed up at Pete's gas hole.
I got filled at Pete's gas hole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or
I smelled the fumes at Pete's gas hole.
I think here's a thing I'm gonna probably
finger banged a miner at Pete's gas hole.
Now, is this one of your business ideas?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna say that this is a $2 million idea, unless I'm gonna add something to it. You host weddings there.
At the gas hole?
At the gas hole. And you could say, I got hitched at Pete's gas hole.
And then it's a 2-point.
Then it's like a probably a 3 or a 4. Because we'll weddings, you know, weddings are expensive.
Now, Pete's gas hole spawned a whole slew of businesses.
Right.
We'll just go through. Pete's donut hole. Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's okay.
My diner with a curmudgeonly owner-operator, Pete's grease hole.
Okay.
Pete's pie hole. That's a pizza place. Oh, Pete's marriage hole is a boutique. We've got wedding clothes. One of a kind. Cat Bjorn's. Weirdo rental. The reception is more lively. Oh, this is the big idea. You know, you go to a wedding, there's always got to be like an uncle or someone who's real fucked up and fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you go to a wedding and you're like, this guy just showed up in his clothes he was wearing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or like there's an uncle who you're like, that guy just started eating the cake before it started.
Yeah.
And he's 50.
Mm-hmm.
So at Pete's marriage hall, you can rent a weirdo to liven up your wedding. You know, so it's more memorable and entertaining. So you're like, it takes forever after the ceremony, but before the food.
Right.
So you have this guy, like, collapse a table by passing out on top of it. And that's like a whole thing.
He's like he does a Chris Farley, pass out and crushes the table.
Yes.
So you'd have like, maybe you'd have a breakaway table.
Yeah.
For him.
Or like he, you know, climbs the little arch in the wedding and just crashes it to the ground. Basically, it keeps things exciting, and everyone goes like, remember that guy? And everyone's like, who was that? And nobody knows.
He's got a lampshade on to hide his identity.
Yeah. He's from Pete's marriage hole.
Yeah.
We also have Pete's pole hole.
Okay.
This came from one night. For some reason, in the morning and at night, if I get out of bed to pee or when I get up first thing in the morning, I've decided I would like a cane to walk to the bathroom because I just feel disabled.
Uh-huh.
In the night, I don't feel like I can really, you know, I'm all hunched over. I feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
My body just hurts.
Right.
I need some kind of assistance and thought, maybe I need a cane.
Mm-hmm.
Enter Pete's pole hole. This is where you can get your night canes that will take you into, you know, the bathroom or whatever.
So these would like glow in the dark, or would these be more expensive where you could sort of tap it on the ground and it would spark like a Gandalf staff?
That we would have sorts. Rain sticks, ones with mosquitoes trapped in the top, walking staffs, anything you would prefer, we've got it. Ones with swords, guns, all that stuff, umbrellas.
I'd like something with like a gnarled bony hand on top.
Entirely possible.
Holding a baby skull.
Super racist ones, you know, where it's like a black guy face. I found this book and it was like vintage canes.
Mm-hmm.
They had a face on there that said it was a Chinaman's face. It doesn't look like any human, let alone Chinese. They were not good at stereotypes way back when.
It didn't even look like a caricature. It just looked like...
Didn't look vaguely Chinese. It looked like a fat face.
Just like someone made a really crappy face.
And
they're like,
yeah, it's just a shitty looking face. And they're like, I don't know, let's just say he's Chinese.
You ever been to China? No, you haven't. This is what they all look like.
So besides Pete's gas hole,
right,
the whole business is,
mm-hmm,
how many million do you think that's going to be worth?
The marriage hole, I think, is worth like $2 million by itself.
Okay.
Because people will buy insane shit for weddings.
Yes.
And every wedding gets out of control.
Yeah.
You know, you've been to a couple weddings, right?
Yeah.
And I've been to a couple weddings.
They spiral.
Yes.
They swirl.
I can say, like, I've been to weddings, you know, sort of like if I'm dating someone, it's kind of like their work friend or something like that. But I sort of think, I know how much she makes, and I have a good idea of how much this would cost. And
how is this possible?
Yeah, like, how is this possible?
Have you figured that out? Because I still have not figured that out.
Yeah, and I try to think, well, maybe parents paid for it, or maybe, like, there's an elderly relative, or there's some kind of inherit. Like, that's the only... Every scheme is sort of... there has to be some money from above.
Yeah.
That's paid for all of this.
I just can't figure out how people have like a $20,000 wedding, mm-hmm. which isn't and super expensive. But even that, I'm like, where did you get that? $20,000.
No.
How's that possible?
No.
If I had a kid and she got married today, I could give her $1,000.
Yeah, and that would be about it.
And then I'd be like, well, this is going to be a terrible wedding. And then the other ones put together, pie hole, grease hole, donut hole, pole hole.
I think that the three restaurants, probably a million, and then maybe the Canes would be a million.
So that's another 2 million.
Yeah. I think diners and donuts are always going, you're going to have to sell a shit ton of donuts to make $1 million is the thing.
It's a slow burn.
And greasy spoons, probably the same thing. Like you're going to have to sell a lot of terrible coffee and
sure
eggs and runny eggs.
All right. Next.
Right.
Next idea. Movie about a hamster journeying home in his hamster ball, Homeward Bound style. Possibly animated, possibly real footage.
Okay. First of all, you have to make it real footage. No.
I think so, too. I think it would be more amazing.
Yeah.
And also, at the end, it could have a thing that says, several hamsters were extremely harmed in the filming of this movie.
I think
I'm sorry.
I have some sequences that I think need to be in this film.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I think, is that you have to have like a river scene.
Okay.
Where it like falls in the river and
oh, sure. And it's
down.
Like going white water.
Yeah, it's going all white water.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Okay.
You have to sort of show it like rolling across the southwest somehow.
Like a tumbleweed?
Yeah. Like a tumbleweed. And I think that near the climactic moment, you know, sort of like in that third act of the film, it has to wander into a studio.
Yeah.
A television studio.
Okay.
And the bright lights come up. And all of a sudden, it finds out that it's on the set of American Gladiators
in the big, huge balls.
Right.
That's a great idea.
Yes. Okay. And so it has to, like, kind of dodge around and everything else.
Yes.
And then you see there's one, like, it's the only, the hamster, like, the contestants are knocked out and the gladiators are knocked out. There's only one big, beefy gladiator and the hamster is left.
Nice.
And then the theme music goes, dun, 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 dun.
This is a good idea.
The hamster has to somehow win, which I haven't quite worked out.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be the gladiators, like, afraid of rodents.
The gladiators.
And he goes like,
ah! Oh, I've got it. The security guard's trying to catch the hamster.
Ah.
You know, that's the whole thing, is the security guard's trying to catch the hamster.
He's in a ball that has, like, a police light on the top.
Yes. And that's the thing, or the security, he's standing by the door, like the one entrance exit out. And so the hamster has to heroic, like go as fast as he can, sort of learn, like jumps against the top of the ball, bounces it up, bounces it off the gladiator's ball out over the security guard who jumps up in his own ball and bonks his head.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
So how many million do you think that's worth?
5 million domestic, 15 worldwide.
5 million.
Yeah. The 15,
yeah.
15 if you make sure that like there's a Chinese person who's very supportive.
For sure.
Yes. No Chinaman Canes in this film, so you're going to have to limit your cross promotion.
It'll just be, for some reason, he'll be in China for a short period.
Right.
Okay. Next business, Pete's Pumpkin Patch. Now, this is basically what it sounds like. A Halloween pumpkin patch. However, we also have a haunted house. The haunted house is pretty much your rinky-dink haunted house, except
right.
It also has an aroused horse in it to terrify children.
An aroused horse just to be
a
like...
A horse boner, yeah. Just because, you know, if you're 5 and you see a horse boner, you're going to be like, what the fuck? That's like a shotgun.
You're like, how do babies get made with that?
Yeah. That would kill somebody.
Oh man, and you get the like you get the moms who are that's the thing is I think for this idea's price.
Uh-huh.
You could have the moms lusting after it wistfully and being like
a horse cock.
Yeah.
The weirdest moms in town.
Yeah, because the thing is the weirdest moms in town, they'll pay good money.
They're the bread and butter.
Yeah, they're the bread and butter. So I think that's a $2 million idea.
All right. What about the pumpkin patch?
I think the pumpkin patch is probably going to make I have a hard time seeing that break $1 million unless here's what you do.
Uh-huh.
You go Dubai, and you make an indoor pumpkin patch. So it's year-round.
Okay. Peter's, oh, that's a great idea.
Peter, is it year-round pumpkin indoor, patch?
Year-round. What? This could either cost me all my millions or make me another. So we'll just say $3 million in total.
Yeah, I mean, people might say it's
between the horse cocks and the pumpkins.
Well, think about it. Here in the summer, it gets hot.
Yeah,
you know, not as hot as where I am, but it gets hot. You say, what could I do to escape the heat? I could go live the best days of autumn and get a pumpkin.
It's true. We have like hourly, a bunch of leaves fall
right
from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea. Frost.
Every 15 minutes, there's like a crisp fall breeze that blows through.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm in. Okay. Commission Nicholas Sparks to write a normal hymn-style book that in the middle suddenly involves something like mummies, treasure, etc. Originally, this idea was that it would be a very hymn-like book. Two-thirds of the way through, you would find out one of the people was a werewolf.
Okay.
However, with the Twilight thing and all that, the werewolf is kind of out.
Yeah.
So it's got to be something different, but in that vein. You know what I'm saying? Like it becomes a Cthulhu story or like a centaur becomes involved or a cyclops.
I think the Cthulhu is one I would like to see, because how do you resolve that? It's like the ultimate dread and existential fear. Somehow it's like, well, and then they're going to somehow live happily ever after because Cthulhu just kind of goes away.
Well, and the beauty of this is that I feel like it's a Nicholas Sparks. It's not like he has to send out review copies.
No.
He can just put out a book and everyone just buys it. So even if he writes a horrible, crazy book where in the middle
Cthulhu
there's
shows
just
up.
A Cthulhu event, so he'll have already sold 1 million copies. And then it'll be like the biggest prank in world history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In literature in the last, like, forever.
Well, you know, what if we went this way and the thing that is in the middle, it turns out that the man worked in a concentration camp.
Turns into a Nazi thing?
Yeah.
Turns into like a Nazi hunting.
Right.
No, it's got to be more outrageous.
Let's see. More outrageous than concentration camp.
I mean, more unreal.
Okay. He worked in a secret Nazi laboratory experimenting on people in Auschwitz on the twins.
No, because it's got to be something that's not based in reality.
Oh,
you know, there's got to be like a wormhole or a portal to hell.
So, like, maybe could you just splice, like, a script from a piece from the Event Horizon movie just in the middle?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Like, he's a demon.
Oh, he's like Sam Neill's character at the end of Event Horizon where it's like he's clearly gone mad.
Yeah, or maybe like a basket case.
Oh, yeah. He was an astronaut.
Uh-huh.
And he butchered his whole crew after going insane. And he's come back to Earth and he doesn't have a lot of memory of this, but it flashes back in the middle.
Yeah.
And like that's the secret that he's kind of, it's why he's hesitant to love.
But he's also got to be like mutated or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's got to be more. He's turning into a giant turtle man or something.
Tentacle penis.
Yeah.
You get the hentai crowd in
he's
there.
He's got 8 tentacle penises. Like right. He's basically got an octopus for a penis.
His cock, you know what you call it?
Cocktopus?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's the working title.
So how many million would you say that's worth?
$10 million.
I like how I'm writing million at the end because I just, the number of zeros is too much. Next idea. This is a simple one. Dog zoo.
Dog
so what
zoo.
This is like a zoo, but it's just dogs there. But so what happens is you go to dog zoo, you can pet the different dogs, you can play with, it's like a zoo, except you can go in the habitats.
Okay.
But you know, it's like, we've got corgis, we've got bulldogs, we've got Great Danes. We've got Husky. You know, every kind of dog. Wiener dogs. Puppies galore.
Just all the puppies. Or maybe you could have all the kittens that survived your centrifuge.
Sure. Diarrhea-covered kittens on a little island in the center of Dog Zoo.
Could you call it Gently Used Kitten Island?
No, because they were not used gently. Horribly abused kitten island. The island of Dr. Moreau with diarrhea. And then every on the hour, a diarrhea, you know, you hear thunder noise like at the grocery store.
And it dumps more diarrhea on the kittens.
Yeah, diarrhea rains down on the cats.
It's an important, It's okay, children. This is part of their ecosystem.
I'm just trying to recreate the environment they're familiar with.
In which they're raised.
They're covered in diarrhea and spun. Yeah, the island raises into the 500 feet into the air and spins.
Every child could pick up the cat and just spin it around.
Yeah, by the tail. And the cat, that puts them to sleep.
That's right.
Not killing them. It helps them sleep.
They just, like, it helps them. They just start purring while you're doing this.
Yeah. So, dog zoo.
Dog zoo. Back to dog zoo.
How many millions would you say that's worth?
Are we counting Diarrhea Cat Island or not Diarrhea Cat Island?
I mean, you could do one for each. I'll split the difference.
I think it's probably... Dog zoo, I think, is probably actually a $5 million idea.
Yes.
That... I'm surprised no one has done it already.
I know.
You know, that seems like a thing.
Seems like a natural.
Yeah, where you could go... I mean, I've heard of that, like, cafes in Japan where you can just go pet a cat.
Yeah.
And they're super expensive.
Right.
And I don't think that would take off in America, but dog zoo would, you know, that would be our speed.
Exactly.
And I think you could charge extra for people, like, if they want to go into the Labrador cage and, like, throw a ball.
Yeah, you could charge for different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, like, see the ones where the corgis are wearing sweaters.
Yes.
That's a premium. It's like IMAX.
You know, you could cross over and have, you could have them wearing Halloween things.
Halloween
and,
at dog zoo.
And?
Catered have, by Pantera.
Yeah, you could have one corgi in a Dimebag Darrell outfit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Halloween at dog zoo would be huge.
Yes, that'd be a massive holiday. I think, well, Christmas would have to be your massive holiday as well.
Christmas would be good too.
Black Friday. Only black dogs.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
We could have races.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have swimming races. All kinds of shit.
You're right.
Eating races.
You could have a lick your own balls endurance contest.
Record long. You know, we make a statue for the dog that's taken the longest nap.
Yeah. Well, that's just the dog that's dead.
Yeah.
You bronze it.
Well, we were sure he was napping from this time to this time. After that, he may have been dead.
We don't take their pulses all the time here at Dog Zoo.
No. They just kind of run around.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another idea. Fake temporary tattoos that are skin tone for hiding real tattoos for job interviews and whatnot. So, you know, you get those temporary tattoos you put right on with water, and mm-hmm. basically it's just a patch meant to match your skin tone. So if you have, like, a neck tattoo, mm-hmm. you can kind of, like, gussy it up if you're going to do a job interview.
I have seen a lot of neck tattoos.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm thinking as an issue.
Okay.
I think a lot of the neck tattoos I've seen, because I'm trying to think of like a neck tattoo, like a good descriptive neck tattoo that I saw of like, okay, this person's just never getting a job in the first place. Where, if you had, what would you think of as a tasteful neck tattoo, by the way?
Well, okay, this is complicated.
Right.
Because honestly, I don't think tattoos really matter.
Right.
And I think probably in another 15 years, no one's going to give a shit. But... for now, when people who are in charge still grew up in the era when I feel like tattoos were still kind of crazy when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And like even when we were like 18, 19, 20.
Right.
Maybe when I was like 25, it seems like, oh, everyone's got a tattoo.
I think that some of it is, I think there will be less stigma to tattoos.
Yeah.
But I think stigma will remain in some places, like the face.
Face will always be.
You yeah.
know, I have this friend and he gets tattoos, right? Mm-hmm. And he was telling me about his tattoo guy
uh-huh.
and what a good guy he was. And he was saying, like, the guy said, oh, yeah, you know what? I don't do face tattoos anymore because I did one the other day and was like, this is wrong.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I've done zero face tattoos and I know it's wrong. Like, that's not right.
I think
how can you tattoo someone's face?
I think if you're a tattoo artist, you're always kind of... Being a tattoo artist is kind of like being a karaoke artist, you know, DJ to some degree, to yeah. loop it back, is that sometimes you'll see someone making a bad decision, and they'll, you know, you let them go through with it and say it's their self-expression, it's whatever, you know, or do you say, no, this is a bad idea?
Yeah, I think I would say no, because... my thinking is like, listen, if they really want a tattoo artist, they can go to someone else. So it's not like, I'm sure someone else will tattoo their face.
Right.
So I can make the choice not to. I just don't think that's a good idea.
It's not like the...
I don't feel right doing it.
Right.
It's, getting paid to ruin someone's life.
It's like, yeah, like if you're the... Well, if you're the karaoke DJ, you get paid the same no matter if you ruin someone's life or make someone happy.
Well, so you know, that's kind of where it falls apart, right, too, because it's not like, I mean, you sang a shitty song and got a shot. It's not going to ruin your life.
I disagree.
Maybe yours did. That's an extreme case.
But I think that, yeah, like a face tattoo is a thing. When I see neck tattoos, I tend to think of, there are tattoos that are clearly like sort of creeping vines from the neck. I go, okay, that, you know, that happens to be on the neck, but probably not wise. Lots of them I see tend to be tribal tattoos or in that tribal style where I don't think of that. But the one that when someone says neck tattoo that screams to mind was a woman who had a neck tattoo of sort of a gaping wound in her neck, or like a cut in her neck as if she had been like had her throat slit.
Okay.
Where I thought that probably shouldn't be covered up. You know, that needs to be put in public to be like, we got it. We know where you stand as a social person. That
you know she's crazy.
Yeah. Like,
so done. You're saying you don't want these because they would help people hide that they're crazy.
Yeah. I think that as a society...
Okay, but I am not looking to improve society.
Okay.
I think I've made that abundantly clear.
I also think that the people who would benefit from them the most, uh-huh, right, are the people who probably can't afford this product in the first place.
Well, they're cheap. Okay. Temporary tattoo is like 50 cents.
I think that if it's a 50 cent thing, then I think you're going to have to sell a bunch to make $1 million. So we'll call it $1 million idea. All right. Like, I mean, that's, it's like the donuts or the greasy spoon. You're going to have to go a long way.
You know, I want some big money investments and some that are just, you know, a small steady stream.
I think that'll be a small steady stream.
Excellent.
As long as people continue to make horrible choices and be crazy.
All right, next. This is a bar.
Okay.
And it's called Pete's Three Hole Punch.
All right.
Where do bar workers drink? Here. Fluorescent lights, cubicle walls, shitty cutout comics tacked up, rolling chairs, office desks as tables. Your bill comes in an inner office envelope. We have signature cocktails with names like the Prostit Note. We've got paperclip garnish enhancements. Wine cooler / water cooler. Kill the keg equals a water cooler chat.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's a bar, but it's themed like a workplace. This is for people who work in bars and restaurants. Because, you know, I think like, all right, when I get off work,
right,
I don't want to go to a place that's like my work,
right,
to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to go to bars, but you work in a bar, where do you go? Well, now you've got a place.
So you go to a place you call
it Pete's Three Hole Punch.
Right. You could call it The Office.
It could be The Office, and that's a drink. It's a punch.
Mm-hmm.
Pete's Three Hole Punch.
You have, every now and then you could have a coffee break.
Yeah.
But it's only like twice a night.
Yeah.
It's mandated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could have casual Fridays.
Casual Fridays. I mean, it does itself.
Yeah.
All the signage, all the fixtures are easy because you just get old office shit.
Yeah. You find an office that's downsized. You get all their stuff.
Yep.
Put it in a bar.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much it.
What do you think?
That'll work pretty well. I think that's a good $5 million idea.
Excellent.
You know, bars will make some money, but, you know, again, it's a good high risk, high reward.
Let's see. I have one last one written here.
Okay.
This is for a video game.
All right.
It's called Noah's Anarchy. Animals have gone crazy. Mm-hmm. You must slay two of each animal, and an uneasy alliance with gorillas is made. That's all that this says.
You have a shaky truce with gorillas, a shaky alliance with gorillas.
If I remember correctly, which I might not, but when this was written, I was thinking gorillas are pretty close to humans. So they're kind of conflicted, but they're, you know, they're unaffected by whatever makes the animals crazy.
You have a non-aggression pact with Gorilla Stalin.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Well, and like, so you have like a sidekick. You're Noah,
mm-hmm,
and you're fighting animals, and you have like a gorilla sidekick. He's got like a shotgun. And so, you know, you have to kill like the two-head flamingos.
So you have a special
to break the spell.
You have a special shotgun that the gorilla can cock with and load with its giant fingers.
Sure.
Okay. A gorilla shotgun.
I think a gorilla could load a shotgun, right? Probably.
I think so.
Yeah. So that's a video game,
right? Well, here's the question: Is it single player only, or is it an online experience?
It would also have online, so you could control, like, let's say, an anthill
or the marmosets
and fight. Yeah, or like, yeah, yeah, badger. The group, the badgers. So it's like Noah and the apes versus the badgers.
Well, I think you have to pick what's your big boss animal. Like, what's your final thing that you have to take down?
You know, I think everyone would say lion.
Yeah,
but I think what would happen, and I don't want to spoil too much,
right?
But I think what would happen is it would be dogs, because right. Noah had a beloved dog, mm-hmm. and so his dog has become king of the dogs. So less than a physical confrontation, it's an emotional
right.
confrontation.
Then we have to take down the animal that was closest to us.
Yes, that we love most.
That we love the most.
Yeah.
Right.
You have flashbacks of it being a puppy. You take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to like kick his head off.
You could have little scenes throughout the like little cutscenes throughout the game where it's like the dog is kind of saying, as you're going through the war, the dog keeps saying, "Don't do this."
Well, this is like, wrong. I picture like the dogs have all vanished.
Right.
So he's thinking like, I hope the dogs have just gone to ground.
Right.
Maybe they're all safe.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of looking for his dog and he's like, "Has anyone seen any dogs?" And they're like, "Nah, man.
The dogs are gone."
Yeah, no one's seen the dogs, but it turns out it's because they were really brewing up a war, yeah. Yeah. So he's got to stop them more than anyone.
Mm-hmm. The whole war shifts. The Gorilla Alliance, you know, Gorilla Stalin is kind of saying, you've got to control the dogs.
He's like, the dogs are the key.
They
must be stopped.
The dogs must be broken.
Yeah.
Or you will be.
That's Noah's Anarchy.
Noah's Anarchy.
On Xbox whatever. Whatever that Xbox is.
Xbox One. What's PS4. Not the Wii U. Not the Wii U.
What do you think? How many millions is Noah's Anarchy?
Oh, I think that's probably your big money-making idea.
Uh-huh.
I mean, games make a lot of money, so I'd say that's probably your 30 to 50 million idea.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. 35, 36, 41, 51, 54, plus 15, that's 64, 69?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. 71, 73, 74, 76 plus 3 is 79.
79.
So I'm looking at $79 million of ideas in this little notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think that would be possible?
I really didn't. I mean, there's a nice range of ideas from a simple diner to a year-round pumpkin patch.
It's true.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about one more thing.
Okay.
We're almost out of time here.
Yeah.
But for your birthday, mm-hmm. I was going to try and track something down.
Right.
And I'll see if you can remember the name.
Okay.
One time, we were in a land called Germany.
Yes.
And we ended up in a gigantic porn store.
Yes.
And we decided to see who could find the craziest looking porno DVD.
Oh, boy.
And I thought it would be really funny if I could find this DVD for you for your birthday upcoming.
Uh-huh.
But I decided that I should announce that that's what I was trying to do, just in case I die someday and my internet search history somehow comes into question.
Right.
Do you remember the title of this DVD in question?
I believe it was Diarrhea Madness.
You are correct.
Yes.
It was Diarrhea Madness. And I thought, how funny would it be if he unwrapped Diarrhea Madness?
Especially in front of my mom and uncle and cousin.
Yeah.
And
it would be great.
Yeah.
You're thinking, oh, it's an Xbox game or something?
Nope.
And so anyway, I just wanted to get that on record.
Right.
Of, you know, I wasn't just looking for Diarrhea Madness because I wanted it.
Well,
it was a gift.
Now you have a
beautiful gift.
Now you have a perfect cover if it's still in your search history.
That's true. Now I can go with a reckless abandon.
Right.
For years.
You can go into Diarrhea Madness.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing it today.
Yeah.
It was good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Do you have any last topics you needed to cover?
No, I really feel like everything is awesome.
All right. See you later. When we stay together.
awesome. Dip my body in chocolate frosting. 3 years later, I shot the frosting. Smelling like a blossom. Everything is awesome. Stepped in mud, got new brown shoes. Awesome to win, and it's awesome to lose. Awesome to lose.